What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 59 of the MM Arcade Podcast. Rob, you're back, man. It's been a few weeks. How you been? What's been going on?
Not much. I had some work to do, you know, that I'm not going to reveal what's going on. But I finished it off by going to the snow with the kids for the first time.
Oh, nice. For the first time.
Yeah. Well, I've never been in the snow either. So we all kind of experienced skiing and the snow together. It was cool.
Interesting.
You know, like, yeah, we're a family of skiers now. we all got lessons. Oh, let me tell you. Highly recommend lessons if you haven't skied before. You need them.
Yeah.
Make the investment because it made the rest of the trip way more fun. Mm.
I've spoken to my wife about it. She's snowboarded before and I'm like, yeah. It's like skateboarding. I'll be fine. She's like, nah, you're going to fall constantly. Get lessons.
I highly recommend lessons, man. Like it'll just make it so much more fun.
Yeah.
I'm back. I'm back and ready to go. I see you've been holding, like keeping the content live, keeping the videos
absolutely
up, and
our
supporters and fans are loving it. So sorry I was away, but I'm back now.
No, it was good. You know, obviously we had the UFC card in Sydney with Thrikus and Sean, but there's no more perfect time for you to come back because we have UFC 313 to predict, and we're gonna be covering like most of the main event, rattling off some other fights because there's so much news to cover, man. Like while you were gone, Dana just went crazy and announced a bunch of insane stuff, both last week and also this week. So I want to get your thoughts on everything that was announced. So if you enjoy this video, if you are new, please like, subscribe. But Rob, UFC 313, finally it is here. Alex Pereira versus Magomed Ankalaev for the light heavyweight title. Alex Pereira, 12 wins, 10 of those are KOs, 2 losses. He obviously just beat and TKO'd Khalil Rountree, Yuri Prohaska, Jamal Hill. But then you have Magomed Ankalaev, 19 wins, 10 KOs, 1 loss obviously against Paul Craig from memory. He was submitted on his back. 1 draw and 1 no contest. He beat Alexander Rakic recently, KO Johnny Walker, and the split draw with Jan Blachowicz. Rob, Pereira, Ankalaev, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, first thing I want to say, how funny is Paul Craig though?
He can beat anyone and lose to anyone.
Exactly. Like he's beaten some really high level guys because it's always, I'm like, what? Every time I hear he's beaten previous champions. Like he can beat anyone,
it's
right?
But
then
crazy.
he gets flogged by nobody's.
Jamal Hill, didn't he beat as well? Like,
yeah, he broke Jamal Hill's arm.
Far out, man.
He had that floppy arm for a while. Yeah, that's the beauty of the sport, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Sorry to go on a tangent. But I guess, you know, first and foremost, I love how Ankalaev is just like setting death threats, dude.
What is he?
I love it because it's not corny, it's nothing. He's just like, full locked in, brother. I'm coming to kill you. Like that's it. Like, you know, if we look at this fight,
yes,
okay. Right now, Pereira's got the bubble around him, the bubble of immunity, because he's just starching people, right?
Yep.
And it's the same like the Merab bubble as well. It's like on paper, he never loses, right? But then things happen. Fights don't happen like that. Pereira, right? On paper, the way to beat him is get him on his back, you would think. You know, he's been in MMA for a long time now. You assume he's done nothing but wrestling defense. And he's cornered by Teixeira. He's got one of the best MMA jiu-jitsu guys to date. And so you think he's working not only his ground game, which he has, but his wrestling defense to be able to keep the game where he is strongest suited.
Yeah.
And Ankalaev, you would assume he's doing nothing but wrestling. And he's kind of leaning that way as well. Like everything he's saying is like, I'm going to keep you on your back for 3 minutes. I'm going to submit you. I'm going to take you down. I'm ready to wrestle for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera. My big thing is, can Ankalaev, because there are no certainties in this fight just because, I don't know, like because Pereira is such the animal stand-up wise, because Ankalaev has said nothing but I'm going to take you down. Like, and he's a good striker, but you look at him statistically, he's stood up more than, you know,
100%
on ground with all his fights.
Yep.
So is Ankalaev going to implement that wrestling game, take Pereira down, control him on the ground and make it a long night for Pereira? Or is Pereira going to hurt him before it comes to a clash of wrestling?
Yeah. I'm so torn on what Uncle Ive is going to do. Because do you remember a few months ago, he's like, I'm just going to stand there and trade with Pereira. I trust my striking, etc. Words along those lines. Mm-hmm. And now we see him. I saw the 25 minutes. You better be prepared to do that. He's clearly training wrestling and his ground game. He would be insane and crazy not to wrestle against Alex Pereira. I know that Uncle Ive likes to stand and trade. He's got a nasty straight left. Like, I think he lost the first round against Rakic, but he did decently well in rounds 2 and 3. But he would be crazy to think he's just going to stand there and trade with Pereira. Pereira has that void where if someone steps in, especially someone like Uncle Ive, who likes to drop his lead hand a little bit, he's going to get checked with that left hook and is going to be lights out. My early prediction right now, and we'll get to it in a second, but it's hard not to say Alex Pereira is just going to starch him. But if he can actually start to wrestle, because he's weird, man. He's got good wrestling, but he doesn't use it much. What's going on? Do you know what I mean?
It's the same thing. Like whenever I bet against Colby Covington, I expect him, like on paper, I want him to run in there, shoot 5 times a minute for the next 20 minutes until his opponent gasses and Colby just bashes him. But then his fight against Leon, you're like, where'd he go?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to Colby? Know what I mean? This happens time and time again.
Yeah.
And I want to see, like, if I'm coaching Ekalov, I'm like, I want him dropping to both knees and shooting from across the cage.
100%.
You know, I want him like army crawling to Pereira's ankles. That's
or at least set up the threat of the takedown. Yeah. So
we're blanking him 25 minutes.
Yeah.
That's like, we need to slow him down, or we need to get him into a position where he's uncomfortable. Mm. We need to start like making threat levels elsewhere, because you see every stand-up fight Pereira is in, every single one of them, even when he's hurt, even when he's getting hit, like when he was with Roundtree, he's just comfortable there.
Mm-hmm.
He'll stay there. He'll be there till the crowds leave. Like, he's so confident in that position, in that dynamic of fighting, that it's silly to fight him there.
Yeah. Can I get your thoughts on something? So there's been a bit of a discussion on Uncle Ive being a southpaw, which in theory might make it more difficult for Pereira to throw his patented low calf kicks and just batter him with kicks, right? However, there's another line of thinking where that's not really true. Pereira can still really kick a southpaw. And we saw Rakic smash Uncle Ive with kick. We saw Jan smash Uncle Ive with kicks. Is that a thing that Pereira needs to like kind of adjust to, or is it a bit nonsense?
I think that got debunked when he fought top of my head. Oh man, of his name.
You're talking about Pereira?
Pereira fought before the last one.
Jiří.
No.
So there
before
was
the
Prochazka, Jiří, Jamahal Hill.
Hill, Jamahal Hill, man.
Yeah. We got there.
He's kicking. Dude, oofed. Hill is a southpaw.
Yeah.
And we saw him still landing those leg kicks, still being able to implement a solid striking game. Mm. He's worked that time and time again. You know, I don't think it's as effective as rear leg, but he's got big feet, man.
He's got a good rear leg as well. Like, let's be real.
Yeah. He's good at kicking that calf. He's good at that game.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be as effective as if he was versing an orthodox fighter, but we'll see.
So if I was to ask you for your predictions, and I know like some fights you like to give predictions, others that you don't. Pereira Ankalaev, who have you got for this one?
I'm going to get Pereira.
It's hard to write him off, right? Like he keeps proving himself.
I just don't, if Ankalaev doesn't drop level within in the first 3 minutes, I don't think he makes it out of the first round. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to be striking with that guy.
Yeah.
Period. He hits like a truck. He's very comfortable and confident at like standing. So, yeah, you have to get him on his back in that first round.
I will say this. Uncle Ive has never been knocked out, right? Yeah. And I don't know his full kind of fight history, whether he's ever been wobbled. I'm sure he has at some stage. It's just that Alex Pereira's power is so freaking scary, especially that left hook.
Had Yuri been knocked out before Pereira? You know what I mean?
That's a really good question. He definitely had been hit. I don't think so. Like a really, really hard. Yeah.
But no one could put him away. I was like, I remember sitting cage side when he fought Glover, and like, I'm sure Yuri was knocked out standing up like at one point. But you know what I mean? It's I don't know. Like Pereira brings a definite like X element into the game.
I just wonder. I know that Ankalaev has knockout power, obviously 10 KOs, but his most recent fights, aside from Johnny Walker, who has been knocked out by everyone nowadays, right? He had a decision against Rakic, couldn't put him away. He had the split draw with Jan Blachowicz, especially with Pereira showing he's got a really decent chin. Look at the Roundtree fight. He got dropped in that fight. He stood straight back up. He has a really strong chin at light heavyweight versus middleweight against the fight with Izzy. I just don't know if Ankalaev is going to be able to knock him out. I know that he has a nasty straight left, but I'm absolutely leaning towards Pereira. I think Ankalaev, he should set up the takedown threat, even if he's not always securing them, just to make Pereira think. But I think if he gets in close, if he drops his lead hand, Pereira's going to knock him out. I want to say second round. That's my prediction.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. I've got Pereira as well. Nothing against Ankalaev.
Of course.
You know, let's see. All right.
Last question for you, though, on this. Hypothetically, Pereira wins. Should he move up and fight the winner of Jones and Tommy Aspinall?
Yeah, definitely. I think he'll make a ton of cash for it. I think like he's got nothing to lose. Every champion that's gone up and lost hasn't lost any value of their stock. He's kind of at the end of his career.
Yeah.
You know, so I 100%. He's definitely big enough to do it.
Dude, how did he ever make middleweight? How?
Bro, you'll guess as good as mine.
Well, that is the main event. Let us know your thoughts and predictions in the comments below. Next up, dude, I was so disappointed, but I'm also now excited again because we were meant to have Justin Gaethje against Dan Hooker in the co-main. Yep. Initially, it was announced as a 5-rounder. And then Dan Hooker was like, no, now it's 3 rounds. And obviously he's hurt his hand and he's no longer fighting. Steps up Rafael Fiziev. This is a rematch, of course. 3 rounds, not 5 for the co-main in the lightweight division. So Gaethje, 25 wins, 20 of which are KOs, 5 losses. He obviously just got knocked out to Max Holloway at UFC 300. He beat Dustin Poirier before that. And then he beat Fiziev. And then we have Rafael Fiziev, 12 wins, 8 of which are KOs, 3 losses. He lost to Gamrot, but that was a really bad TKO knee injury, so no slide on him. He obviously lost against Gaethje in a majority decision. Beat Dos Anjos, beat Brad Riddle, beat Bobby Green, Renato Moicano. Rob, what do you reckon of this one?
Well, firstly, I want to say, I know like I have such mixed feelings with Hooker out, right?
Go on.
I am happy, ultimately, though. Because let's face it, Gaethje, Hooker, one of those two dudes was going to die. Like, and I'm a big fan of both guys, right? But like one of those dudes wasn't leaving the octagon.
Neither of them were.
And it would have been amazing. Like it would have been the best fight of the year, I reckon. Easily, I reckon.
Easy.
But I'm a big fan of Hooker. I'm a big fan of Gaethje. And like I didn't want to see one of my favorite dudes die.
Yeah.
So now he's fighting Rafael Fiziev, is it?
That's right, Fiziev,
Bro, their first fight was a banger.
It was so good.
So good, dude. I watched it yesterday.
Same.
It was so violent because they fight so similar. And they were both just landing shots. You could hear the shots constantly. They sound like gunshots.
Yeah.
Every time they would hit each other. I'm almost more excited for this fight. Like,
really? Okay.
Because I got no stock in the race now. Like, because I would have been going for Hooker as much as I love Gaethje, but I would have been going for Hooker.
Yeah.
Right. Neighbors. But now that the horse is out of the race, I got Gaethje all day, and it makes me excited because everyone's going to get a good fight. Like everyone, if you're a fan of the sport. And you haven't seen their first fight, watch their first fight. It is so good.
By the way,
so good
on this, bro. So obviously when Hooker pulled out, everyone's like, all right, who's Justin going to fight? Hinata Moikano came out. I think Gamrot came out. Obviously, Fazeev came out. He's been looking for a fight for a while. And then they announced this fight, and a lot of people were disappointed that maybe it wasn't Topuria because he moved up, but that was never going to bloody happen. Maybe it wasn't Poirier, but that was never going to happen. Apparently, they talked to Armin, and Armin's like, I only do it at a 160 catch weight. And then people are like, oh, I'm disappointed by this. I'm like, bloody casuals, watch their first fight. It is like so much fun. Those two went out to freaking kill each other. I love Fazeev. I love how he fights. Yes, he gasses, and we can talk about that. But all of those rounds, Fazeev was just throwing, man. And even in the third round when he was getting battered, he just kept bringing it to Gaethje. He never backed down. I'm so excited for this.
I don't think there was a single punch thrown in their fight that wasn't at full power violence, bad intentions.
Hell yeah.
Okay? I'd go as far as to say that this matchup excites me more than any other potential matchup. Like Gaethje Poirier, would have that made me as excited? I don't know. I don't know if it would have.
They fought twice already. So like
Gaethje Max, would have that made me? No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like I think this fight excites me the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go as far as to say I think I'm more excited for this than the main event.
I'm not going to lie. In terms of like what happens in the ring, not championship, you know, things or anything like that, not like the grand scale of the fight and what it means for the division, but just in terms of pure entertainment in the ring, I think this could be fight of the night. 100%.
Yep.
It's going to be, if it's anything like the first fight, I love how Fazeev fights. His Muay Thai, his kicks, he's so freaking lightning fast. And he just kept going, moving forward towards Gaethje.
Yep.
And then Gaethje did what he did.
You see, Fazeev had a lot of success with his kicks in the first fight.
Oh, he's so good, man. He's so good. Mate,
I'm very curious to see how he approaches his second fight with Gaethje and how he implements his kick game.
Especially
after coming back from a knee injury.
Coming back from a knee injury, but on the flip side, Gaethje also coming back from a pretty bad KO loss. He's getting a little older. If you just watch the fight, do you remember some of the knees, some of the strikes that Fazeev landed on Gaethje? Part of me feels if that happens again, he's getting slept after the Max Holloway knockout. I know that Gaethje's always had a very, very good chin, but there is always a stage in a career when that happens a little bit too much and you're like, oh.
He got hurt so much in their first fight.
So much. That first round, Fazeev landed a couple of nasty, I think they were the knees. And I was like, if this happens again in the second fight, there's a good chance that Gaethje gets dropped. So if Fazeev doesn't gas, right, it'll go all three rounds. But if Fazeev lands that in the first, I think there's a chance Gaethje gets knocked out. I'm not saying that I'm going for Fazeev or that I'm picking him, but there's a really good opportunity for that. So what are your thoughts, man? Final prediction.
I have to go Justin Gaethje.
I
told you I'm biased, dude. Okay. I like Justin too much.
Yeah.
Too much to go against him. Like, and also speaking, you can't put him in the octagon with anyone and not think he has a solid chance of beating him.
Of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going Gaethje all day. I am curious to see how Fazeev capitalizes on those kicks, how Gaethje gets through that first round, how he comes back after getting knocked out.
Yeah.
So he's been off a little bit.
I'm very torn because part of me thinks that, you know, Fazeev has been out since September of 2023, right? He hasn't fought in a while. So, and that's probably why they gave him a 3-round fight. Yep. And he's always gassed a little bit as the fight goes on. It could just be a repeat of their first fight unless Fazeev cracks him. I'm going to go with Gaethje because I still think he has it. I still think when he's fighting in the pocket, his check hooks, especially when Fazeev was exiting, he was always throwing and he was always landing. And that's ultimately like what caused so much damage in the third. So I'm going to go Gaethje, man, but it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be a very, very good fight.
Very good fight.
In terms
very
of other fight. Fights on the main card, we'll rattle these off quickly. Jalen Turner against Ignacio Bahamondes, Amanda Lemos against Yasmin Lucindo, and Bobby Green against Mauricio Rufi. That one should be a good fight. I'm very excited for that last one.
King Green. Come on, bro.
I know.
Dude. Call him by his name, Johnny. Call him by his name.
King Bobby Green now. That's what it is now, officially. Not the other way around. Do you reckon, by the way, before we move on, do you think Bobby still has it? Or is this going to be, he's going to get knocked out? I think he's going to get knocked out by Rufi.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a big fan of him. I thought he lost it fucking 10 years ago.
Right. Okay.
But then he started bashing people. So I'm rooting for him. I think he's one of those dudes that'll just continue to mature like fine wine.
All right. All right. That's a good shout. Well,
what I mean?
Yeah. I think this is he's at the end of the line here. Like against Mauricio Rufi, he's dangerous. I think this is going to be it. But let us know all your predictions for the main card of UFC 313 and also the other fights in the comments below. But next up, as I mentioned, Dana went crazy over the past 2 weeks, announced a bunch of crazy news. Let's get your quick opinions on everything here, Rob. First of all, UFC London, 23rd of March. It is now Leon Edwards versus Sean Brady because Shavkat Rakhmonov is injured, which made JDM, who was meant to fight Leon Edwards, do another fight. And we'll talk about that in a second. So Edwards against Brady. What do you reckon about this one, man?
Very curious to see Edwards come back.
Yeah.
Like he looked bad last fight. So I'm very curious to see how he goes against Sean Brady.
Yeah.
Sean Brady, you know, there are similarities with him and Bilal.
Yes, like, exactly. I was going to say. Style. Yeah.
So, I'm curious to see how – we know how Sean's approaching this fight, box wrestling.
Yeah.
What does Edwards look like against this game a second time?
He needs to be more active. Like it's easy to say, and I'm sure he would have liked to have been against Bilal. I think that Brady's going to give him a really hard time. I don't know if Leon has made enough adjustments to his game in such a short amount of time. But let's see. And then after that, 12th of April, we have UFC 314. So all of this happened, first of all, because Ilia Topuria vacated his title. He wants to move up to lightweight. He's no longer in the featherweight division. He said, I'm not going to keep my title and hold up the division. So he's moved up, vacated. This means Alexander Volkanovski is versing Diego Lopez. Before we talk about that, what do you think about Ilia Topuria vacating his belt and no longer being in the featherweight division?
I think, like, by all accounts, he used to have really, really hard weight cuts. And I don't think he'll struggle for power at the heavier weight division. So all props to him. And honestly, after beating Max and after beating Alex in the division, he's kind of cemented his like reign in that division. Like
I agree.
Those two guys were the boogeymen of that division, of that era of fighting. And he finished both of them. Good on him. Props. Yeah. Big things.
Well, look, it hasn't been confirmed, and I think it was either him or his manager or his coach came out and said, he's not doing this, he's not dropping a belt and moving up to not fight for the title. In all likelihood, it's probably going to be him against Islam Makhachev. What do you reckon? What do you reckon about that?
Mate, it's hard to say. Very hard to say. You know, but, it's so hard to say.
Islam is so good, dude, but so is Ilia.
He is, but Ilia, I feel like Ilia, like people know he's good, but I don't think they know how good he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I feel like people still don't realize technically he is so far above the game.
Yeah.
Like in terms of jiu-jitsu, his wrestling, his pocket fighting.
Yeah.
Like he's just...
I know he's been starching people, but and everyone just thinks like he's a boxer, but he's not. Like he's very good at jiu-jitsu. And we've seen recently, Marab, Jordan wrestling seems to be the Achilles heel of the Dagestani wrestling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I hope he fights Islam because I think that's a fight that'll put him on the map, proper. Like he'll take everything that Islam has. He's already on the map, obviously, but
I think that is the fight to make and that will be made. It's probably the biggest fight to make.
If the champ like humbly like relinquishes his title to move up, you have to give him a title shot.
Yeah.
You have to. Like it's just out of respect.
And don't get me wrong, it's not like I wouldn't like to see Ilia against Charles. It's not like I wouldn't like to see Ilia against Armin, right? Good fights, but it's not against Islam for the title. So I think that's what they are going to do. But because of this, we now have for the vacant featherweight title, Volk, the great Alexander, against Diego Lopez. Banger of a fight, man. Can I get your thoughts?
I don't know. Diego Lopez is so dangerous right now. He's riding so much momentum. And he's in a really dangerous position. And Volk, we don't know what Volk we're going to see.
I know.
You know, he's had a lot of time off since he lost the belt.
Yeah.
And he is aging. What is he now?
36, turning 37 later this year after the fight. Yeah. But
yeah, it's like, I don't know. Because taking all that away, I got Volk all day. I think his grit, his tenacity, his skill set is just so, that's why he was so dominant in that division. That's why he beat Max the way he did twice. No, three times.
Three times.
On it? Yeah, like, because he's just so good. So good. But with all those variables put in place, like Lopez being as dangerous as he is, as riding the momentum that he has, the way Volk lost his last fight, the way he lost the fight before that, you know, the timeline of everything, it just, it muddles up. It makes my pick messy.
I mean, look, as we've always said, we're biased here. We're gonna support Volk every day
Volk
of the week.
All day.
Yeah.
Volk all day.
It'll be a crime for us as Aussies and fans of him for so long not to.
Yeah, dude.
But
do something sometimes.
Diego is very dangerous right now. And like, look what he did against dangerous. Brian Ortega. Two very different fighters. Like, Volk is very, very well rounded. He can meet Diego everywhere. But part of me is worried after those two bad KOs. If Diego hits him with, like, do you remember what he hit freaking Ortega with? And somehow Ortega recovered in that position. Does Volk recover?
It's such an Ortega thing to do, but
he got woken up by the follow up. You remember that?
It's such an Ortega thing to do.
But elsewhere on this card, we've got Michael Chandler against Paddy Pimblett. That's freaking awesome. Bryce Mitchell against John Silva. Jeff Neal, Carlos Prates, Dan Ige, Sean Woodson, Nikita Krylov returning against Dom Reyes, and Yan Zhao Nan against Werner Yandrobra. This is a really good card, bro. Top to bottom, man.
That's looking really, really, really good. You know, a lot of potential for a lot of different guys there.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. But we're not done yet, man. UFC Kansas City, 26th of April following that. We have, they're rebooking it. They're going to try it again for a second time. Jamal Hill, Khalil Roundtree Jr. What do you reckon of this?
Yeah. I think people are banking too much on Khalil's performance on Pereira.
Sure.
And versus Hill's last couple of performances.
I think I
like Roundtree a lot, but I think I say that a lot. I think Hill gives Roundtree some trouble. You know, yeah, I do. I think his unorthodox striking, he hits hard, obviously. He didn't look super good in his last fight, but sometimes it takes a fight like that to get rid of everything, like all the webs and all the fears and doubts that you had the fight before.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of crap going around after his fight with Pereira.
Yeah.
I feel like he was a little distracted. You know what I mean? I don't know. I do think Hill, though. Hill's a dangerous guy.
Yeah. He seems to be having, like, after the Jiří fight, he seemed to earn a lot of respect because, you know, he didn't come out and say, you know, there was this BS or whatever. He said, I genuinely lost. He seemed pretty humble about the situation. This could be Jamal's redemption story, right?
Exactly.
But Roundtree, man, he's so good. Like, he put a beating on Pereira until he got a beating put on him. But let's see what happens. And finally, UFC 315, May 10. As I was talking about before, Shavkat Rakhmonov is injured, so he's not going to be fighting Bilal for the title. And instead, up jumps Jack Della Maddalena. Aussies stay winning, bro. Another title opportunity here. What do you reckon of this? This is going to be a good fight.
Well, yeah, I'm curious. Like, I'm so pumped JDM is getting that shot. I think, like, this fight is so winnable for him. So winnable. Because, you see, looking at it very, very casually, it's kind of – the matchup is kind of similar to Bilal fighting Leon. All right. But I think JDM, especially after his fight with
Burns,
has obviously been working that kind of defensive game, been able to punch through it, right? But also I think his close pocket fighting is better. So that when Bilal closes that gap, which was giving Leon Edwards a lot of trouble, because Leon likes fighting on the outside, JDM doesn't like need to fight on the outside. He can fight very, very well inside. So when Bilal closes that distance, that space, Jack may hurt him there. And then if Bilal starts to get hurt there, we've got a very different fight on our hands.
True, but if you remember the Burns fight, he was taken down a fair bit very quickly, and part of me feels Bilal's going to double leg him all night. You know?
Yeah, but I think Bilal has better wrestling than he does jiu-jitsu.
Okay, sure, sure.
So I think he'll get takedowns and fight him on the wall a fair bit,
yep.
But I don't think he'll hold him down as well as
That's
Burns.
A good point.
Burns' jiu-jitsu is so high level,
yep.
So high level. And, you know, the best example of that is when he fought Chimaev. Chimaev's wrestling's next level, man.
Yeah.
Okay, personally understanding, like it is next level.
Yeah.
And he was afraid to be on the ground with Burns. Okay, so that I think that is an indicator on things, but I don't know. Let's break that down closer to the day.
I mean,
right?
Look, we're going to backjack all day. Aussies, man, we could be coming up on top by the end of this, or we could be not. I hope it's Volk and it's JDM both having the belt. Let's see what happens. But aside from that, Valentino Shevchenko, Manon Fiore, you know, Jose Aldo back against Ayman Zahabi. We got a couple of decent fighters on this card. Also, Gilbert Burns.
Ayman Zahabi fighting Aldo. Wow.
It's a weird...
I trained with Ayman.
Did you actually? I didn't know that.
Yeah, at TriStar a millennia ago.
Oh, nice.
He's a good guy. He's a good family man as well.
He is a good
guy. He's Faras's brother.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, the dude looks exactly like Ariel Helwani. It's very funny.
Yeah, I can see it.
But can I say this? Why is Jose Aldo getting all these really hard younger dudes and not like legends of the sport? Like, surely there are some bigger fights that we could be making for Aldo here, right?
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, but that is UFC 315. Those are all the big announcements over the past few weeks. Dana, again, he's delivered. He's really delivered. There's some awesome cards coming up. And finally, we've got some games news to talk about. I will
Excellent.
Ask. Fable, all right? We're going to be talking about Fable. I put this news story in here, Rob, because and I wasn't sure if you were a big Fable fan, but we talked before and you told me that you are. So the reboot of Fable was meant to be coming this year. It's been delayed to 2026. And they've said that it's going to be worth the wait. Yes, it sucks it's been delayed, but they also released 50 seconds of pre-alpha gameplay. It looks good, man. Like, it was some horse riding, some walking scenes, like a beautiful forest area. We saw combat with like a one-handed sword, a two-handed sword, a fireball magic attack. I'm telling you now, even though I'm a bit disappointed, because I love reboots, especially when I haven't played all of the previous games, because they give you the best opportunity to jump back into a series. But just looking at this game, it looks gorgeous. I'm very excited. What do you think about Fable? Like, are you excited for this game? What do you think about the delay?
I am so excited.
Hell yeah.
Fable 1 is one of my better gaming experiences as a child. Like, it is.
Wow.
I recently replayed it maybe a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like, the remastered edition. It mm-hmm. is so good. I love the way they implement humor into it. I love how they implement like really dark scenes. I like the, and this was, I feel like their game back then was groundbreaking because you could buy houses, you could get romances, you could, there was NPC dialogue. That wasn't really on the scene at that era.
Yeah.
You know, I really do feel, and the RPG mechanics, the fact that you like, the more strength you got, the bigger your character looked. Mm. There were so many, and they also did about a karma system. So the more good things you did, the holier you would look,
yeah.
And the more evil you did, the more devilish you would look. So there were so many cool things done at it. Like, this is 20 years ago or something. Like,
yeah.
Back in a time when this wasn't on the scene, you know, it was amazing, 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 amazing. And to think that they've had all this time and now they're delaying the game to make something, like, if that's where they started, I can only imagine where they're going, right? It's going, I'll wait 1 year, I'll wait 2 years. It's just like, because let's be honest, Fable fans never thought there'd be another Fable, dude.
No, like, no. Yeah, like, yeah.
So waiting a year, extra year or two is fine, as long as when you deliver it, it is cool. And I don't know, I'm a fan of like things of the Fae, right? Like the Fae fantasy sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And they really hit that on the head. It looked really cool. In the trailer that we watched, it looked like they kind of really lent into it this time. I am pumped.
Maybe. Hell yeah, dude. No, it's good. It's good to hear it. I mean, what I find most interesting.
Unless
about
I have to play as a girl, because I've only ever seen the girl in the trailers, and that'll piss me off.
I was gonna bring it up. Like, I actually haven't seen anything about whether there are two options to be able to play. Is that a deal breaker for you?
They 100%. Please. That's why. Please, for me. guys, don't. Because like that's why I can't play Horizon Zero Dawn as good as that game is. It's why I can't play Last of Us, really. It's why there's just a lot of games I can't. And it's not because I'm sexist, but I'm a guy. When I play my games, I immerse myself in them and I can't understand things from a perspective as a girl.
Right.
I can't. I'm not a girl.
Yeah.
You know? So, please.
I was going to say, though, that this is being made by the studio Playground, who's known for Forza Horizon. What I'm very interested in is how they're going to adjust to a completely different style of game. They're taking their time with it. And I believe, someone correct me if I'm wrong, I believe previous Fable devs are now there helping out with this. But it's going to be a reboot. It's going to be somewhat of a reinvention. And I'm glad that it's next year, because this year we've already had titles like Avowed. There's so much coming up.
Monster Hunter Wild just launched. Like, you don't want to be in this year right now.
Perfect segue. So you talked to me about Monster Hunter Wild. I don't know if you've played it yet, but you're pumped. It's very popular. Yeah. 1 million concurrent players. What do you think about the recent reviews?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say because, it's like, because I'm like struggling with my own emotions here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Because now I'm unloading here, guys. There's no hard thing. We're spitballing. We're just working with each other.
Go. Okay?
Maybe you feel the same about some things and you guys can get some insight to stuff.
Sure.
I don't know how I feel about that because I'm a big fan of Monster Hunter. I played it way back on the PSP.
Yep.
Back in the day, that's the PSP. First one.
That's a callback. Dude,
that was my first entry into the game. The PSP.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm a big fan. I love the whole mechanic. I spent a lot of time on World.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so fun. I enjoy the whole mechanic. And then I saw how many people were getting on the bandwagon of Monster Hunter Wilds.
Yeah.
And I don't know. There's no way all of them are Monster Hunter Wilds fans. Monster Hunter Wilds, like, understandably, it's an amazing game. But I was just like, I feel like it's become a real trend, like a hype trend lately gaming. Is that like, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2?
Yep.
Like, ever since Baldur's Gate, I feel like Baldur's Gate and Elden Ring started that trend where it's like, everyone's getting it. Let's get it. So, like, it's like bringing a lot of people. And I can't help but feel like some of those guys are the guys that are giving the game a bad review, because most games have performance errors or issues or stuff on launch. I know that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Usually when a new game comes out, I'll give it a week or two, because without fail, you'll see hot fix one, hot fix two, hot fix three, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. A million players.
I was going to say.
Play right now, dude.
There is no game that comes out without any issues. But a game that has a million concurrent players, I could not imagine the burden and stress on their servers. It'd be so crazy.
Like, it's crazy. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But I also know that that's probably just my FOMO speaking. And the fact that I want it to be my game, you know. that's a me problem. Yeah.
Right? Are you going to play it out of curiosity?
100%, but the setting has to be right, because I thought about playing it last night, but I'm tired. I'm going to play 30 minutes. I'm going to get through the intro cutscene, make my character for the next 25 minutes, and then go to bed.
Sure.
So the first time I switch it on, I want to have like the whole day clear.
You want your Sunday when you sit down in the morning with your coffee and you're like, all right, this is Monster Hunter Wild today.
Yep. And I'll also get my mate as well, and we'll just hit it together.
Hell yeah. Well, once you do, we will talk about it on the podcast. But speaking of what we're playing and watching and reading, Rob, I know you've been away. Have you just been not able to do anything while you've been away?
I've been doing stuff.
What? Stuff? Tell me about it.
No, tell me. What have you been doing?
I've been playing so much. I played Avowed, right? So that's Obsidian's new...
Yeah, Skyrim type thing, eh?
Yeah, visually, sure. But it plays very different. It's a 40 to 50 hour more tight-knit experience. It's not the kind of open world RPG where you're able to kill every NPC and talk to absolutely everyone. It's think about a world, but in the Pillars of Eternity universe, fantasy style. That is Avowed, right? And there's people on both sides of the fence. I actually really liked it. Like, I thought the combat in particular is really fun. You can respec whenever the hell you want. There's wands, there's guns, there's grenades, there's double swords. I ended up going Oonga Boonga and smacking everyone with a giant greatsword. It was
the best.
And the feeling of the combat, like every hit is like weighted and heavy. It just feels great. And then I eventually got to this point where this ability called Barbaric Shout, where you would yell and you would get enemies stunned so quickly, and then you would go into this slow-mo killing animation. Oh, man. But by the end of it, the combat was so fun. And my most favorite thing about the game is that it has a unique weapons and armor system. Every quest that you do, every location that you look at or that you loot, you're bound to find a really cool, unique weapon that gives you a special effect. There is nothing more satisfying than looking through a dungeon or completing a quest and getting an awesome weapon or an armor to show for it. Oh, I love that bit about it. I love that bit about it. And the story is like fine. The story is nothing to write home about. The companions are fine. But just to play, having a blast. Mm. I actually really do like Avow.
Yeah. There's too many games.
I know.
Because I've been so busy, I just haven't had time to really sink my teeth in any games lately.
Yeah.
And because they're new games, I also am reluctant to start a game. Like I said, after training, because I just can't be bothered learning a new system or learning new crap.
Yeah.
And I'm just falling behind. Like, I still haven't played Elden Ring Shadows of the Erdtree.
They're about to release a new game, man. Nightreign.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to play that one either. Like,
Can I say?
I'm falling behind.
I participated in the network test for Elden Ring Nightreign. It's really interesting. So think of like a Fortnite. Fortnite, because they have this circling fire that closes in and that makes you think, but it kind of has like roguelike elements where you drop in with a team of three or four people and you have to go and loot, get more powerful, pick up weapons, level up.
I'm not playing it.
Yeah. So that's not for you. That's not for you. Dude. It's not your traditional Elden Ring experience. It is quite different.
It's not me.
I had fun, but unless you have a well-coordinated team, the moment that you get to, you go at during the day, you're leveling up, you're getting powerful. At night, you fight a big mini boss. Unless you have a well-coordinated team, you're probably getting smacked the second or the third boss. I think a lot of Elden Ring fans are going to try it, and a good few of them will either be like, this is for me, or this is not for me, and they'll move on. I thought it was all right, though. I thought it was all right.
I haven't been playing any games. Like,
that's sad, man.
I just haven't had any time at all. I'm trying to think of a game I played.
Have you watched anything? Read anything?
I am up to date on solo leveling.
Oh, dude, hey, what do you think? Tell me.
The animation's so good,
so
dude.
So good.
Like, main character pisses me off still. Like,
he's egocentric,
too,
right?
He's too edgy, bro.
Yeah.
He's got to relax. It kills me, but like the animation quality is just so good.
Yeah.
Like, so good. Probably up there with some of the better animation I've ever seen. It's really, really, really good. Been reading a lot of Victor from Tuxen.
Interesting.
It's like I'm on the seventh book now. It is a really good book if you like those sort of books.
Yep.
Yeah. Otherwise, I've just been pumped for Monster Hunter Wilds. Like, Monster Hunter is such a good game. Like, have you played Monster Hunter?
I have dabbled it in the past, but it's just been one of those games that I've never been able to get into.
You see, you got me going when you said about the feel of the combat, the weightiness of the thing. There is no game that has better combat than Monster Hunter.
All right.
Like, I just, in my opinion, I can't to date think of a game that has weightier feel and more of an impact in combat than Monster Hunter does.
Like, okay. Can
it's just like,
play it this week, please. I need to know what you actually think and whether it's...
I don't have time.
Oh, that's right.
The earliest I'll be able to play is next week.
That's sad.
Because I'm going to Vegas. Las Vegas.
can you share, by the way, why you're going to Vegas, or is that hush hush?
I don't know. But I'm going there to do something with the UFC to get me to do some stuff. Yeah. And that's kind of all I've been doing. You know,
all right, it's man.
I'm going to dinner tonight because it's Mardi Gras in the city, isn't it?
It is Mardi Gras. That's right. So this weekend.
I'm gonna go suss that out, dude.
Yeah. Mardi Gras is always fun, bro. Yeah.
I've never been, so I'm gonna go.
Hell yeah.
No, probably not. I don't know. I'm gonna get dinner and then we'll see what's up.
So you'll be nearby enough where if you wanna take a gaze, you can see what it's like.
Yeah. You know, from the outskirts of binoculars, like, what's going on over there? We'll see.
All right. And final segment for today, viewer questions. As always, if you have any viewer questions, please do let us know in the comments below. First up, we have at the MMA Alchemist. When are we getting Bobby Knuckles fight news? Come on, Rob. Okay. The hell's happening?
I want to fight in June. That's the date I've given the UFC. That's okay. When I'll be ready, because I don't know if you can tell, but I'm like on the staunchier side right now, right?
Yeah.
Like, yep. I've been just working on some muscle, working on some new skill sets and whatnot. So I don't want to stress out, give myself 8 weeks to get the weight down and to have to worry about that. So I want to come into it flying.
Yeah. I think you talked about this on Submission Radio. There's been people talking about it. People keep saying, Sean Strickland, it's the fight to
I'll
make.
I'll fight Strickland. I'll fight Strickland in June.
Punch okay.
That'd be good.
If obviously he got his nose broken pretty bad, I don't know, how long would it tip? If you got a broken nose like that, how long would it take for you to return if it was just?
I don't know. June's a fair whack away.
It is.
I'll fight him in July.
All right.
I don't care.
It's kind of funny, like the fact that you two have been in the top rank for a decent amount of time and you haven't fought each other. It's the obvious fight to make. It really is.
And I want to fight him.
Do you?
Yeah, he pissed off some people.
He did.
I feel like he deserves one or two.
All right. Let's see what happens. UFC Dana, make it happen. Next up, we've got @NickSka. Question for Rob and Johnny. Are your partners, wives, such girlfriends, also gamers or fans of anime? If so, do they both enjoy the same games or anime together as a couple, or do they like different games or different genres of games, anime, and TV shows? Rob?
No. My wife doesn't understand gaming at all. She doesn't like anime at all.
Fair.
And I think I like it that way because, I don't know, like I feel like we're the two sides of a coin, right?
Yeah.
We kind of balance each other out. If she was on games as much as I was, then I wouldn't be, right? I feel like it's healthy, but also I'm a terrible teacher or introducer to games, like the worst. I'm like, yeah, babe, let's play a game. And then she'll start playing. She'll be like, well, what do I do here? And instantly I'll be like, you just go. Like, I'm a terrible at it. I'm like, just pick it up. Like, you know what I mean? Learn or go. Like, I'm terrible at it.
I'm similar. Like Steph and I, my wife, we've played Super Mario World and Brothers at some stage, and I'm just like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Yeah. I will say this: I have
back
got
to
her,
the kitchen.
Yeah, we've watched some anime together, and so the first one that I introduced her to was Spy Family. Really loves it. She loves Spy Family. I'm like, all right, if you like Spy Family,
and that's a shit anime, dude.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm like, well, there's this and that and that. Dude. And she's like, no, I just like Spy Family now. I'm not watching any other anime but Spy Family. I'm like, for fuck God's sake.
Yeah, you know, that means she doesn't like Spy Family. that means she's done.
She actually does. She's like, done, she came and watched the movie as well. She's really into it, but nothing else.
No.
I don't know, man.
She does not.
Next question is from @FatMan23.
Make her watch Goblin Slayer.
Absolutely. I didn't even like Goblin Slayer because of that first episode. It's terrible. So look at your laugh. You know.
I love that dude. He might be my favorite character in all the in all anime.
It's because he's the doomslayer of anime.
But he doesn't win easily. He gets bashed. He almost dies a lot of time. Nothing's clean cut. He's not overpowered. He's just a dude doing a job.
Can I say this? You were talking about Solo Leveling. I forgot to say. I like it. Don't get me wrong. Really interesting story. Great visuals, as you said. He needs to get beaten a little bit more. Like some of the fights need to be a little harder.
I'm close to dropping the anime. He pisses me off too much. Too much.
Yeah, too much. I just got to the one fight where there was actually a challenge, but he still won relatively easily.
What challenge?
I
don't think he's been hit, dude.
No, he was hit in that one demon fight at the top layer.
Oh, he doesn't have any effing challenges. He's silly. The only thing that's keeping me is a potential romance between him and that other chick. That's it. That's the only thing holding me.
Do you know what I was thinking about? It's like One Punch Man without the satire. That works because it's satirical. This is like, no, it's super serious. He's just that good.
And One Punch Man's a dork.
Right? No, exactly. Exactly.
He's not like edgy haircut, edgy clothes. edgy character walking around. Like, I mean, it just kills me, dude.
I feel you.
All right. You know what? I've talked so much crap about it. I'm not watching it from now on.
No, at least finish the season.
I'm taking it off my watch list right this second. Good.
Are you doing it as we speak? That's wild.
I'm over it, dude. Nah. I'm done with you. Big on.
Next question at Fatman23. I would love to hear Rob's take on the talk of Islam coming to middleweight. He said he would definitely accept the fight versus DDP. How would he fare in that? And more interestingly, how would he face against Khamzat? And finally, I would like to know how he would fare against you, but that would be a very biased answer, I'm sure. Lol. Islam in middleweight, bro.
Oh, mate.
It's a big jump. Man,
so many what ifs. That question was like so...
What if Drikus and Khamzat and you?
What if this? Answer. What if that? What if that? It's hard to say. Like that Dagestani wrestling, like that part of the world sort of wrestling, you know, having fought Khamzat is different. Like after experience it, and you need a very different approach to countering it than usual.
Mm. You need Marab. You need Marab's Jordan wrestling.
I think you need more jiu-jitsu than wrestling. Mm. Mm. Like I think Burns had it right. Like you need to threaten him being on the ground, and you kind of need to accept guard instead of having him on your back. Mm. But that's neither here nor there. Hard to say. Too many hypotheticals. Too many what ifs. I don't think Islam would fight Khamzat because they're just like, I don't know.
I think they're respectful of each other. It'd be a very good fight. But
it'd be cool if they like both didn't want to wrestle and then they were kind of just kickboxing.
But it's one thing to say go to welterweight. It's a whole other thing to say go to middleweight.
DDB is very big. What weight means something.
Yeah.
So like,
I saw this photo of Bisping next to DDP. DDP's giant.
He's a big guy.
It doesn't make any sense. And finally, last question at No2568. Question for Rob: how important is your corner during a fight, and how different would a fight be without their advice?
It's tricky to answer that because a lot of the confidence comes from who they are. Mm. You know, all the work's done up to a fight. Like I know the game plan. Unless it's something drastically different, then like I'm kind of gauging off them what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong, how I placed in the rounds, whether I'm winning or losing, like that sort of stuff. There isn't a lot to do at that point, but like, there's also something spiritual about it, like having your corner, having the guys that sweat with you constantly in the gym, like with you in your corner as you're fighting it out. It's cool. Like you need them there. The corner in the fight is just a small part of the corner of the whole fight week. Because in the fight week, they do so much for me.
Hmm. Can I get your thoughts? I mean, there's been a couple of fights now. We saw it with Sean Strickland, we saw it with Leon Edwards, where it feels like sometimes there are fighters that just don't want to hear the advice, or they don't listen, or they... I remember Leon Edwards told one of his coaches to shut up. Have you ever gone through like that or had those feelings? Hold on. You know what I mean? Hey, what's going on?
Like you have those feelings and you have those thoughts sometimes, but I'd never be disrespectful to my corner. Not like that. Like I'd have to be on death's door to be that disrespectful. And even then I probably wouldn't say anything. Like,
sure.
But there's time and place. But usually that sort of stuff happens. Like there is resentment or a grudge or a misunderstanding well before that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's been all through camp and wasn't hashed out. Like I'm very aware of like how my relationship is with my corner well before we reach the octagon. If things aren't flying, I bring them over, we sit down, we talk it out because you can't have that there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, Rob, those were all the questions. That was episode 59 of the MM Arcade podcast. Mm-hmm. If you're still watching or listening at this stage, thank you so much. Rob, as always, closing thoughts to see out the episode.
I want to say thank you very much and like great job, Johnny. I'm putting out the videos, keeping the channel going over the last few weeks. I have been away and you've just been picking up the slack and it's been great. We are now at 33K subs.
I know.
You know, it's still going up.
Hell yeah.
And honestly, thank you to all our fans and all our subscribers, you guys that tune in, listen to us, just talking crap. It's because of you. You make the dreams, a reality, right?
Absolutely. So,
thanks.